This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome, welcome to the Low Life Podcast. I'm Lo Von Roop, joined by Rachel Zoe. Did you like that? I'm serving up some armchair expert with Dax Shepard realness for you today, putas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Armchair Expert. I'm Dax Shepard. I'm joined by Monica Mouse.
Hello.
Love listening to Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert. It's a great podcast, super popular. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, but back to the Low Life Podcast. Bienvenidos. Welcome to an all new episode. I'm so happy to be here. I missed you. I hope you're having a good day so far, a good week. And if you're not having a good week, don't you worry, boo-boo. We're about to turn that frown upside down. We have a great show in store for you today. Mental health-wise for me, I'm a solid 8 out of 10. Not that you asked. I'm just choosing to share. 8 out of 10. And I'm sharing it because that's a really high number for me these days. I'm like, wow, 8 out of 10, that's an 80% solid B. Something to be proud of. I mean, these days I've been going through, you know, the grieving process. I'm missing my little Dookie. So it's nice for me to have, you know, a positive week. And there are a few factors that contributed to my solid 8 out of 10 B average week. First things first, the weather in California is absolutely beautiful. Sunny, the birds are chirping. I'm looking outside right now and it's just like a beautiful day. The weather is not too hot, not too cold, like it's just right. So I'm someone who actually loves the gloom, love the rainy type weather, which is not common in LA. Anytime it rains here, people are like, oh God, it's shitty weather. Nobody leave your house. But I throw on my trench coat and I love to go get like a hot tea or hot chocolate or something from Starbucks and I embrace it. But these days, as I'm kind of going through it, you know, missing my little dookie booty, I'm really appreciative of the sunny weather. Second factor that's contributing to a really good week is the fact that my aunt came to visit. Love having my aunt here. I hadn't seen my aunt Linda in over a year because the pandemic and everything, and she wasn't traveling and it was a long time. So to get to see her was like a much needed reunion. So she's the aunt from my mom's side. This is my mom's older sister. But what's really interesting about my mom and her sister, I'd love to have them on a podcast, by the way. It'd be such an interesting episode because they are polar opposite in every sense of the word. They don't look alike. They don't act alike. I mean, their political beliefs are completely different. Spirituality, complete opposites. Music tastes, food tastes, just everything, style. They're just so different, but they have a very close sisterly bond. And I just adore my Aunt Linda. So my Aunt Linda came from Montana to visit. So she's from here, California originally. Then she moved to Montana and she's just this Trump loving, gun shooting, socialist hating queen with a heart of gold. And that's the thing. That's the one thing I love about my family is my aunt does not have the same political beliefs or really a lot of beliefs that I have are so different from hers. And same with my mom too, you know, with her and my mom. But that being said, I still love to have discussions with her and talk about politics and spirituality and everything. I want to know it all. And I know most families would shy away from talking about politics. And I hear that when it comes to families and I hear that when it comes to a podcast too, like, don't ever talk politics low. It's so divisive. It's so polarizing and you will lose listeners. Guaranteed. If you start talking politics, I've been warned by fellow podcasters and producers, like you're going to lose your listeners. And my response to that is challenge accepted. They're like, no, like we don't want to challenge you. Just like, don't do it. You know, but I'm like, but why not? And the reason why I feel this way is like for my aunt, for example, I love my aunt. I respect my aunt. I've known her my whole freaking life. Yes, we don't see eye to eye politically, but I'm so curious and I want to know what has shaped her into the person she is today. And this lens that she has, I mean, she's lived more life than I have. There's a reason why she believes the things that she does believe in. Like, she's not insane. She's an educated, well-read person who I respect. So It always comes from a place of respect, and I'm not trying to change her mind, just like my listeners. Like, I don't want to change your mind, just like you don't want to change my mind. It's all healthy discussions, and sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't. But again, as long as there's respect there, and I'm not trying to change anyone's life or mind or make them feel bad for what they believe in. Like, do I like Trump? Not really. Not really a fan of him. But she loves him. She has a freaking picture of him on her fridge. So it's like, what? But after having a really nice conversation with her, and we discussed it for hours, I see her perspective and I'm like, you know what? Not for me, but like, I respect you and understand why you have your beliefs. And yeah, pass the dressing, moving on. Let's continue with the dinner. Like, it's not going to ruin this family. And she has the same sort of philosophy. So does my mom. That's why these conversations don't end up being explosive. And I think people just get very passionate, which I totally understand that too. Get very passionate about specific issues, especially when it comes to politics. That it could end up becoming explosive because there's all that passion and you're wanting someone to so badly, you know, change their perspective and stuff. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not trying to do that. I like to hear all these different lenses in life, and I feel like it seasons me. It gives me more perspective. I encourage it. So anyway, that being said, it was a wonderful visit with her, and I got to learn a lot about her and her perspective, and I got to meet my little baby cousin. She visited with my little cousin to give the parents a break. My Aunt Linda, who was the grandma of this little baby, little Madeline, and she's all of 5 months old, and as soon as I held her, I was like, I love this baby. She's so sweet. Doesn't really cry, big long lashes, like, oh, she's so cute. If you don't follow me on the gram, it's at StyleLVR, S-T-Y-L-E-L-V-R. But I'm posting all these funny videos and dressing her up and just making her my little toddlers and tiaras. I just love my little Madeline. Although I want to change her name to Lola. Maybe that will be her nickname, little Lola. But I love babies. I love dogs. I love puppies. I love cats. Like, I love it all. Only thing I'm not down for is birds. They terrify me. But I know people love them. But to me, I'm just like, oh, hell no. Like, oh, their little beaks and their sharp talons. And I'm not down with birds. But any other pet or child or baby, I treat them like they're the same. I was holding her and I was like, you remind me of little Dookie when he was a baby. And my mom's like, really? Like, really? She's not a dog. I'm like, well, I didn't think Dookie was either. He was a baby to me, like a little son. Anyway, that's another reason why I was just loving this week, is because I had sweet little Madeline and my aunt here to visit, and that was great. And the third reason why this has been an awesome week is because I was talking to my producer, and she goes, Lo, did you get a chance to listen to the episode with Caitlin and her mom that she did on Off the Vine? And I said, no, not yet. It'd come out on that Thursday. But I usually listen to my podcasts over the weekend. That's when I get all my podcasting in. Actually, I listen to podcasts every day. But over the weekend is like when I go to town, and I like to clean my house and scrub a dub while I listen to Off the Vine. So anyway, I hadn't listened to it yet, so I didn't know what she was talking about. But then I went in and listened to it, and I was in for a little treat, a very special treat. Okay, let me share it with you. This is what happened on Caitlin's podcast. I'm sharing it with you here now.
Day wedding
I
gown track.
I want to be there with Lo, and you come out behind the curtains, and we see this one and that one, and we hold up a sign, yay or nay. And
oh, okay. Well, then let's do that. But you'll have to come to L.A. then.
Okay. Well, because I want Lo to dress me for the wedding too.
Oh, yeah. He'll dress you. He'll dress. I don't know if Lo even knows this. He might just find out from this podcast, but he's going to be at my wedding party. Oh, is that? I know that's supposed to be like a big thing. Like, Jason's very much, my mom's giving me a look. Lo, this is how I'm asking you to be in my bridesmaid.
You wanted it to be special.
Yeah. And I want him to be standing up there with me.
And this is special because I'm in on that.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I figured since she asked me on her podcast, I would answer her on my podcast. And my answer is, yes, queen, of course. I said yes to the dress. I'm so excited and honored and privileged to be in your wedding party. I wouldn't miss it for the world, queen. My little Canadian maple delight. I cannot freaking wait for this. This is the royal wedding to me. Like, this is a situation. Like, it's going to be so good. I've been dreaming about Caitlin's wedding dress and kind of planning it out in my head for years before she was even engaged. But I am I just can't wait for it. Like, it's going to be so good. And the thing that's so funny is Caitlin is so unconventional and could care less about all the frills and thrills. Like, if Caitlin had her wish, like, I'm sure she just want to go to, like, Justice of the Peace, rock a freaking white power suit and call it a day, you know, and have, like, an awesome party after. But I want a big wedding. I want a royal wedding. Come on. And I think Jason is on that same page, too. Like, he wants it all. Like, he wants it to be, you know, an occasion. And he's going to have the tuxedo. And Caitlin's going to have the dress. And perhaps a couple outfit changes. Oh, yeah. I'd like to do at least two, maybe three. Then, of course, a bomb bridal shower outfit, bachelorette party. Like, I'm going to have her dressed to the nines for it all. And her mama, too. And the bridesmaids. We're all going to be dressed looking chic. I'm going to make sure everybody's looking on point. It's going to be so good. When I first found out that they got engaged, I was like, gay gasp. I was just so excited because I love a good wedding. And also, these are two people I absolutely love, best friends of mine, and getting to celebrate their love and just have like a massive party. It's so special and it's just going to be the best. I cannot wait for this. Not sure if she wants to do a long engagement or short. I mean, knowing Caitlin, she'll want to do a little bit shorter, but I think it also depends on like COVID and all that sort of thing. And things are opening up, but her family's in Canada. So that being said, all that plays into the timeline, but whenever it is, I will be there wherever it's at, whether it be in Canada or here in California or New York or Nashville. I don't know where they're going to do it, but like, it's going to be freaking beautiful wherever it's at. Maybe I should bring Caitlin on the podcast and we'll do a whole episode on just all wedding stuff. Like, I feel like I'm more excited about all that shit than she is. I get so excited for it. And Caitlin's definitely more like the tomboy in our relationship, which is part of the reason why I love styling her. Cause she's like, whatever, Lo, like, as long as you love it, I love it. Like, let's go. Like, she's so no fuss, which is why I'm going to make sure Jason is looking like a snack and Caitlin is looking like a gorgeous queen that she is. Ah, so exciting. Okay, so that has me feeling very positive and it's a very healthy distraction for me. And I can't wait to go to Nashville and just begin the planning of this big extravaganza. Stay tuned for that one. On to today's show, special guest Rachel Zoe. Okay, so part two of the conversation. If you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's episode, we were going into the conversation with Rachel. We talked about building an empire and she talked about how people backstabbed her and how she had trust issues and how she got to where she is today. And there's some people who might not be familiar with Rachel Zoe, but she's a very successful stylist. She doesn't style anymore. Now she's an entrepreneur, an author. She has the Zoe Report, which is amazing for fashion trends, a podcast, a fashion line. Like, she's so busy. But back in the day, 25 years ago, she was styling her ass off and had the Rachel Zoe Project on Bravo. So that was the first time like America got a glimpse into the world of a stylist. And it was bananas. Rachel literally was always stressed out, literally losing her mind with all of the drama, with all the fashion and style.
I literally want to cut myself in half. I literally felt like vomit coming up. I literally died. We literally are going to need to pull dresses out of our asses. Jordan, you're literally like so banging.
And I was like, sign me the f*** up. I cannot wait. I love it. So I was very excited to have a conversation with her. So that's last week's. And then this week we dive into her marriage with Roger. She has two beautiful boys. We talk about her family life, the secret sauce to having a successful marriage. She's been married for over 25 years, which is like the 0.01% in Los Angeles. Like, good for her. And of course, we finished with a fun round of rapid fire preguntas. That means questions for my non-Espanol speakers. It's a great episode, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. The only regret that I have of this podcast is that the audio is not perfect, because I accidentally deleted our conversation. So I recorded it on my podcast equipment. I talked about this last week, but then I went to upload it in my computer and I don't know, something, I pulled it out. Long story short, it sounds like I'm on a Zoom and Rachel sounds like she's in studio. Thank God my producer Madison like saved the day, because I was freaking out because I thought I lost it all. And she's like, don't worry, we still have the audio on Zoom. So it's an amazing episode. I love it. I'm just a perfectionist. And I'm like, it's not the perfect quality sound on my end. But regardless, I hope you enjoyed the episode. We're calling this one Lo with a Splash of Zoe. Enjoy. I am so thankful we have Nutrafol as a sponsor at the Low Life Podcast because I use them. I also have my friends and family now hooked on Nutrafol because it actually works. It's a great product. I highly recommend it. I love it. And I've noticed, especially with my mama, the queen, this was a great gift for her for Mother's Day. Because I know with the craziness of life happening, you get a little bit stressed. And she was complaining that her hair was thinning. She was like, oh my God, I'm shedding like Shamu. So I've noticed with some of my other girlfriends, since having kids, they see a little bit more of their scalp. Also, menopause can play a part in that. It impacts your hormones and that also impacts your hairline. And so when it comes to thinning hair, there are so many root causes at play and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted whole body approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required, free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. You'll start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code LOWLIFE. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L.com, promo code LOWLIFE. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code LOWLIFE.
But wait, what was part two?
Part two, the first part was, when did you start trusting him?
Right.
And the second part was, oh, is it difficult to work together?
Moments. Yeah.
Yeah. It's when you guys have similar personalities.
Here's the thing. We didn't start off working together. We worked like 15 years without each other and we built our own career separately.
Okay.
And
okay.
He was in finance and I was in fashion. And ultimately we came together to start the Zoe Report and to launch a media business. And really because my brand and my business got way beyond what I could handle as just me, you know? And as I said, I'm very untrusting of people, especially after getting hurt by so many prior to us forming our business together. And we play very different roles in the company. And, you know, sometimes they overlap and, you know, we bicker a lot. But the thing is, ultimately, we're playing for the same team. We root for each other. We both want to win. We both want each other to win. And, you know, there's no one I trust more on this planet. So it's like to be able to have that built in trust with your life partner, your business partner, your parenting partner, your everything partner, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Because if I had a dollar for every business that breaks up or blows up because the partners break up, I mean, it happens more often than not. So I would rather... I choose him. I mean, all day long, you know? So that's really it.
Were you ever with an agency for styling or was it solo mission?
Many,
for
many.
Oh, really? But okay.
But they never got me a job. I just handed jobs.
Yeah. I was not into agency life either. I was like, I'm getting all the jobs on my own. So I'm good.
It was always word of mouth and stuff like that.
So. Yeah. Referrals and stuff. Yeah. Well, when you and Roger are working together and you guys seem to do great at commingling everything, which is beautiful. But I'm seeing that like these couples that have been married for a number of years, I just read a study. It was like the divorce rate is increasing by 30% in couples that have been married from 25 to 30 years. And it's,
I can see that.
And it, I, yeah. And I'm seeing it specifically because, well, one, we're living longer.
Yes.
So, you know, people are getting divorced. I have, you know, one of my girlfriends, she's been married to her husband for God, like 30 years. And she's like,
she got traded in for a younger model.
Sure did. Yes. Yes, sure did. And
weird.
Yeah. Luckily,
that never happens.
She's dating a really cute guy too. He,
by the way, that's happening more and more, which I'm loving because, the answer is it doesn't surprise me. I'm seeing it a lot. I know many women that are like between 40 and 55 and divorce happens, the kids go to college and,
you know,
I think part of it is due to the fact that when the kids leave and it's just them, you have to still love each other and you have to still respect each other and you still have to have passion for each other. And I think what people are finding is once the kids are gone, they don't, you know, and that it's been about the kids and that they were kind of roommates. And I think that happens a lot. I also think, as we've known for many, many years, you know, that men move on. And I think sometimes women get older and, you know, even if they're the same age as the guy, somehow it's fine for the guy, not for the girl. And they get traded in for a younger version. So that's always nice. And then, but what I'm really finding too, is that the women are then moving on to guys like half their age and having fun and just feeling really good about themselves. And you know what I mean? And I think, look, ultimately my feeling on that is I think we're living in a world, in a generation now where people don't stay for no reason. And I think when we were growing up, well, I mean, you're very young, but like our parents and our grandparents, that wasn't an option. They stayed. No. They made the decision to stay.
Even
no
if
matter
it was
what.
Hell.
If it was hell, they stayed. And that was it. And I know many people, like my grandparents, their friend, you know, they stayed. It was you stay. That's it. This is not an option. And so I think what's happening now is people are learning about, you know, the conscious uncoupling and being able to exist. And I think, look, I have a theory about it. Ultimately, people deserve to be happy. And I think that you only really come around once, despite anything you believe. If you live another life, that's great, you know, in the afterlife. But regardless of that, everyone deserves to be happy in their lives. And whatever that means, as long as you keep your kids emotionally healthy, you know what I mean? And you keep them out of it. You know, your kids need loving parents. And, you know, I think as long as they have that, trust me, kids know if their parents aren't happy, you know,
they sure do.
They do. And I think ultimately people just deserve to live their life and be happy. But it's all about how you do things, not what you actually do. And I think it's just becoming more accepted to break up and separate in marriage, and hopefully people having more amicable separations and then finding another love again, you know, and having another chance at happiness. And, you know, my sister did it, and I have countless friends that have done it. I feel like I've been through 20 divorces, you know? So I just think ultimately you have to choose happy, and however you get there is how you get there. But I do think it's a lot about how you get there.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, like, if you do like 20 years with someone, I mean, and then you divorce or 30,
you tried. You gave it a good shot.
Yes. Yeah, you sure did. And I look at it like, if you end up getting in a relationship with someone else, you could still do like another 20 and maybe 30 years.
By the way,
someone.
I know people that are, you know, married 35 years after they were married 15 years, you know, and the first one didn't work and the second one was forever. And that's okay. People grow apart.
One of my friends, she's actually in her second marriage with this guy. I'm so curious your thoughts on this, because I was like trying to figure this one out with her. Okay. So he was married, and unfortunately his wife passed away. His first wife. Yeah. And he was so in love with her. They didn't have a bad relationship, and he was heartbroken by it. About 8 years later, five to 8 years later, he meets my girlfriend, Leslie. So they get in a relationship. They've been married now several years.
Okay.
They are so happy, so in love. And she had her first husband, they had a terrible relationship. He was like this like fitness dude, complete asshole. Okay. So she left him, found Lou, and like they have just been in love since. So now they're talking, because they have years in them, of course, but they're life planning, life insurance, things like that. And the question came up about where they would be buried. Now he bought a plot. I know, dark, but he bought a plot. Well, with his first wife, they had bought it like years ago. It's like their family plot. And I don't know what area that's in California. And she's like, well, no, I want him to be with me in my family plot. Like whoever goes first, like we should be together. So she's like, Lo, am I out of line for saying that? And I love my friend, but I was like, ooh, that's a really tough position to be in. Like, because he had a life, he was married to his first wife for like over 20 years or something like that. Like they had so much history. So she's gone. Whoa. So she's going to be in heaven. Like, what the f-? Like, I don't know. Like, who's this?
That's
Leslie
a hard
chick?
One. That's a hard one. But I'm tempted to say, let him go where his heart takes him.
Oh,
like let him choose, you know? Because ultimately, you definitely don't want to force someone's hand there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's saying that he'll be with, he's like up with his wife now. He's like, that's fine. Cause he's like, it's for the living more so anyway. So if I go before you, I'll be with you or whatever. It's the kids that are like our mother, our biological, like that's our family plot. So there, that's where the dynamic gets a little.
So I would go there. I would go where the kids go.
Go where the kids go. Okay.
You got to go where the kids go.
Straight advice from Rachel's out. Yeah. Go where the kids go.
Go where the kids go.
Yeah.
Stop.
Amen to that.
Amen.
What have you and Roger, because I mean, you have all these years together to keep it.
So many years.
To keep it going. Like, what are you guys, because you work so much together. Are you guys protecting your relationship by taking time away from each other because you work so much together? Like,
to be honest, alone time? Here's what's so funny. We work in the same house all day, but on most days I won't see him from like 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night. Like literally I'll like bring him a fresh Starbucks in the middle of the day and that's about it. You know, we do a lot of meetings now. We have a fund now. We're doing a lot of investing and advising on different companies. And so we're working more closely together in that. I kind of crossed over into his lane because I'm obsessed with it. But
like a Wolf on Wall Street vibe.
Exactly. Am I Leo?
Stocks. Yes.
But I've really enjoyed that. And, you know, listen, if it were up to Roger, I would say one or two nights a week, we'd probably go to like the Bel Air Hotel and disappear without children. He would love to do that. And maybe, you know, now that COVID is lifting, you know, for us, when we like need a night to breathe, that's kind of what we'll do. But for me, I'm such a mama hen that my instinct is to never leave my children. And so he kind of has to pull me from them. You know, I think it's a little bit like, you know, my umbilical cord is definitely still attached to them for sure. That's like a very real thing, I think, with mamas, you know?
Oh, I'm still attached to my mom.
Of course you are. Of course you are. My kids keep telling me they're going to UCLA because it's only 10 minutes from my house.
How old are your boys?
Just 7 and just 10. Okay. So now they're not like babies but my little one still feels little, you know, and my older one feels like in between, feels like a tween.
Yeah.
You know, he just got LED lights all around his room and his computer and he wants to just play Minecraft with friends and, you know, the tween thing. I know it's crazy. Yeah. Out of body. But yeah, Roger, you know, listen, the truth is he's a really big part of, we're both a big part of why it works for us. Honestly, I don't say that because it's the name of our podcast. But the truth is that I show my love for him in very different ways. Like I'm very nurturing with him. Like I make sure he's sorted, like food and this and that. And like, you know, if I go out shopping, I'm almost never come out home for something with me. For me, it'll be for him, you know.
Yeah.
It's things like that and like just making sure he's always good. And like for him, there isn't a day that has passed since we've been together in 30 years where he didn't tell me that I was beautiful or that I looked beautiful, even when I'm feeling my most not beautiful. And let me tell you, there most days, 99% of the time, I'm not feeling at all beautiful. But I think, you know, it's like he doesn't say it to hear himself say it. Like in the moments he says it, he actually really believes that, which is why I'm like, good God, I love your rose colored glasses. But, you know, I think it matters. And I tell my kids all the time, like, please don't forget to tell your wives they're pretty. Please don't. And my kids tell me all the time. And they're like, is it okay that we tell you that, mom? And I'm like, don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Girls never want to, you know, because my little one has a fiance and he tells her all the time that she's beautiful. As well, Ella, you look beautiful in everything.
Oh my God. That's the sweetest thing.
Yeah. Romeo. Caius Romeo.
Yeah. There's something to say about a mother and son bond.
I know. It's not normal. And there's a deep love.
Oh, it's such a deep love. And well, I'm an only child. So I feel like my bond with my mom is just, it's insane.
It's unbreakable. Unbreakable.
It really is.
The dads aren't so mad about it. It's weird. The dads have like a love-hate with it. They love it so much, but it's like they can't touch it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and you'll see as your sons get older that a little bit of the shift and like they start to relate to their dad a little bit more and stuff. But like my mom's always been the queen bee up in this house, but you know, as you will be in your house too, but you know, the kids will be obsessed with you, but like, it's not till the teen years that, cause my mom was always like the very like protective one. Like when I was the letting go process of like high school and stuff like that, my dad would be like, go ahead. Like, I'll let you have that little drink.
By the way, Roger too. Roger's like, eat the Sour Patch, eat the this. Yeah, let me get you all kinds of non-organic food when I take you. I'm like, it's not going to make them love you better. He's like, it might for the day. It
might work. Yeah. Just
I'm like, until moment. They puke on you, then don't come crying to me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and one more thing to say about your podcast.
Yes.
I listened to a few episodes.
Did you?
It's so good. I love Thank it. I'm not you. Even in a relationship. So I was like, is this going to.
But you are. Well, so the whole premise of Works For Us is that it's not just about couples at all. It's about, right. In fact, the one that came out today is with best friends, Jen Meyer and Sarah Foster, because yeah. They're the best friends that I actually know. And it's about the whole point of Works For Us is wanting to find the secret sauce or the magic that keeps a relationship successful, whether it's a mother-son, a mother-daughter, a husband-wife, a husband-husband, a wife-wife, siblings, yeah. Best friends, doesn't matter. Everyone is in a relationship and everyone struggles with relationships, or everyone has a very successful relationship, hopefully at least one, you know? And yeah. So for me, as a psychology major, I wanted to really get into what is the magic of, you know, all these amazing, successful relationships, no matter what kind they are.
Yeah. Well, I love that you're exploring gay relationships, straight, best. I think it's, oh, I love it. Well, you put yourself out there with your reality show. I was like, oh shit, like she's really letting people in, which is great. That's not an easy thing to do. And I talk about vulnerability all the time. And I think that with that show, The Rachel Zoe Project, it was a really, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm like, I think that was a good representation of the person. Like I watched that show and I'm like, she's a cool, humble, kind human who loves what she does. And I think that if someone was like, I don't like her, I'm like, really? Like, I haven't heard that, but it like,
no, it's hard. People it's used hard to love to really not like me. That was like a thing. Oh. It was a thing. Oh. It was like fun for them. I think they just thought I was, I don't even know what they thought I was, but
yeah.
You know, part of the reason I agreed to do the show, funny enough, was I kind of, for exactly what you just said, people were forming an opinion of me that was so opposite of who I am and what I believe in and what I do and making up these crazy things. And I said, you know what? Let them form a real opinion. At least this is who I am. I'm not an actor. So I am putting out exactly who I am, for better or for worse. And, you know, when we see people now, they'll be like, Rach, Raj. And they'll be like, you don't know me. I just feel like I know you from the show. I'm like, well, you do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an actor. This is me. This is me. And this is us. And that is who we are. And now on Works For Us, it's definitely, definitely us as we are.
Well, I was going to say, it's so vulnerable. Specifically with a podcast, people can smell the bullshit a mile away. And if you're not authentic, but putting yourself out there on a podcast and opening up your relationship for listeners is like, whew, a little daunting. So I'm like, were you guys like game, green light, like let's do this from the get-go? Or was there a little reservation on either end?
The podcast? No.
The podcast, no. Yeah.
Works For Us, for me, is the most organic thing I've ever done. It is literally, I do no prep. I do literally nothing. Wow. I don't do hair and makeup. I don't do anything at all. And I sit right where you're looking at me right now, exactly with the mic and a headset. And literally, Roger is literally, I have to tell him to like put a beanie on instead of a trucker hat. And we just roll. We literally just roll. It is so organic and conversational. And genuinely, my love for inquiring about people and what makes them work, you know? And so for me, this was really, really a no-brainer and so much fun. And what's so interesting is everyone that I've had on the podcast thus far are people that I have known for a very, very long time.
These are all close friends of yours.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, anyone from Jessica and Cash to Nate and Jeremiah and Jen and Sarah and, you know, Tommy and Dee Hilfiger. And, you know, ultimately, what's amazing is that for that hour, whatever, I'm still learning what makes them work and their story. And all of the episodes have takeaways. And that's what's so cool is that everything that I do in my life and my career at this point has to have mission and purpose. It just has to. And so for me, I feel like every time I do a podcast episode, okay, great. But what are the listeners learning from this? Why do they want to hear
this? What's the takeaway?
What is the takeaway? And like, And what did I learn, you know? And I'm learning and I'm loving it. And I'm like, how have I known you for 20 years and didn't know any of this, you know? So it's super interesting.
Yeah. I would love if you had a couple, like a dysfunctional couple come on and just be like,
sure, why
talk,
not?
Just talk it out.
But then it doesn't work for them. But yeah. Then it doesn't apply to the title of the show. It doesn't work for them.
It doesn't. Yeah. This is something that doesn't work.
It's all
work.
About what works for you, what works for us.
Absolutely. The Nate Berkus episode was great.
Oh, that's so good.
And I love that you kind of like foresaw that happening. Like you put that in the water, that those two should be together. I
thought and they like, really so, should be.
Yeah. I was like, that's so cute.
They're a magic couple, those two.
Really? All right, Rach, I want to go into a round of rapid fire questions with you, if you're cool with that.
Do it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, cottage on the beach or cabin in the woods?
Oh, God, cottage on the beach.
Oh, thank God. I love that.
Oh, God.
You're not going to be alone in the woods.
Oh, my God, no. Hell no. So many things to be scared of.
We're going to go with your celebrity crush. We'll go male and female celebrity crush.
So here's the thing. On the male, it was Johnny Depp since I was 13.
Oh.
Then turned into Brad Pitt. Then turned into Robert Pattinson once I started watching Twilight. Now, since COVID, Reggae Jean.
Oh.
Bridgerton. Can't yes. Breathe. Love him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Devastated that he's not in season two.
I want to make out with him. And yeah, devastate. I actually can't talk about the fact that he's not doing season two. I think that's an actual like television travesty. Female crush. I mean, I'm going to say it was Angelina for a long time. I'm really loving Margot Robbie. I think she's just so rad. I think she's just the coolest. She's just cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's
sure
just,
is.
She's just, she's an amazingly talented actor. I met her at a few things and she's just cool and normal and nice and gracious. Yeah. And you know,
Australians are the best. By the way, I
agree with that. I really love Australians. I do.
Yeah.
They're
Australians and Canadians really do it for me. Like they're sweet
God,
people.
Totally. They're so, you're right. God, yeah. That's really funny. Very friendly.
Yeah. You were just on one of my best girlfriends and well, she's a client too, but Caitlin Bristow.
Oh, she's was so fun.
Yeah. Canadian Maple Delight.
We had a really good time together. We had a lot of laughs. She's so cool.
So it is. If your belly button had a magical power, any power, when you press it, what would you make your belly button do, Rachel?
Oh, stop time.
Oh, wow. Just boom. And it's tracks.
Oh, yeah. And the reason I'm prepared for that question, just so you know, is that my little son every single night asks me, like, would you rather or like, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
And yeah, I'd say, you were ready.
I'd say, stop me at 25.
Yeah. Amen.
Stop Same me seems. At 25. Benjamin Button, baby.
All right. What is your go-to cheat meal? I have a feeling it's going to be like steel-cut oats.
Cheat meal, God. Oh, no.
They're like figs, not organic
literally,
figs.
Oh, God. How do I even answer that? I don't know.
Like, do you ever throw it down and be like, I want some freaking, like, I don't know, like nachos, like extra ground beef? Okay.
No, and I'm going to tell you why.
In-N-Out?
Yeah, no. The reason is because, in all honesty, and I plan to change this, but for now, I don't exercise. So I choose to eat really well so that I don't feel as horrific about myself. Because in order for me to find time to exercise, I would have to wake up at 4 in order to get an hour to actually do it. But when I do, I'm going to do like a, you know, Tracy Anderson, Melissa Wood health combo package of like, Tracy keeps swearing to me I can do like a 15-minute version of her thing, which I think I can. But I'm like, if I can get close to what Tracy Anderson looks like, I will do anything. Is it possible to do while I'm asleep? So that's what I'm working towards. But yeah, I eat. I really do eat.
You just eat clean.
I eat clean and I just have forever. Long before it was like chic to be like gluten-free and plant-based and all that, you know, I didn't even know.
Oh, you were living that healthy plant-based life.
I actually had to, because I was allergic to, I found out when I was 21 that I had such like stomach issues that I was told I can't have wheat or yeast. So
wow.
Long before it was cool to be GF.
Yeah, sure. So I guess your go-to cheat meal would be like vegetable pasta, vegetable noodles.
I mean, yeah. Or like, I really love, do you know what? Craig's, spaghetti squash primavera is life. That is so good. And his vegan ice cream, that vegan ice cream is heaven on earth. My kids live on it. We always have it stocked here in mint and peanut butter for Roger. So
delicious.
Yeah.
When are you most inspired?
I'll be honest, when I'm away in one of my favorite places, you know, like if I'm in St. Bart's or I'm in the Hamptons, or if I'm literally have that rare moment of like sitting on the beach and actually just looking at the beach and looking at the water and actually listening to it. Funny enough, I'm not someone that like will listen to music in those moments. I actually just want to hear the sounds of like nature, and it drives Roger nuts because he always wants to have music on. I'm like, I literally just want quiet, you know? And that's honestly when I feel most inspired. But from a fashion perspective, probably like when I go to Paris, you know, I come home feeling like a whole new person, like just completely ready to like, you know, just do it. But like, it really takes sometimes a good trip to Paris or Milan.
Oh, damn. I love that. I'm curious, at your dinner table, do you have silent dinners or is there music playing in the background?
No music. No.
Really?
Conversation. At our, dinners like at home?
Yeah. Your private dinner with your family. Like
No music in the back. No. Roger will turn some on, like if I'm cooking, like if I'm making brunch on, you know, Sundays or Saturdays or whatever, he'll turn on some Grateful Dead or some Bob Dylan, and that's okay. But it can't be something polarizing. For me, music should always be like the thing you hear kind of faint in the back, as opposed to like it polarizing your whole room. You know, I love music, but like I love it in a time and a place, and I can't, my ears are like crazy sensitive, and I want it like when I'm talking to my kids, I want to talk to my kids. And if like Dylan's playing in the background or like the Stones or something, I'm just going to start singing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to focus on the music instead of what someone's saying to me.
Yeah, I get it. I just realized that because I grew up always with music at the table. I didn't know anything but that to always.
Really?
Like when I started hanging out with friends, and I was like, wait, like, is someone going to put music on? Because it's so quiet right now. And they're like,
music
no.
Music at the dinner table. Huh?
Oh, always.
I mean, I will say this though. But that said, social dinners, like if I have dinner parties, always have music on.
Okay.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. But not with my kids. Not when we're just like having our.
I get that.
You know.
Yeah. I always have like a little Earth, Wind, and Fire. I feel like that's like a safe. I don't know.
Love a little Earth, Wind, and Fire.
People will
vibe with
that.
Why not?
Okay. Sure. What is a movie that is a mood changer for you? One that you've watched more than once? Maybe you can even quote it. What's that movie for Rachel Zoe?
I have so many. So the one that changes my whole being, and I can't not cry when I watch it, is The Notebook. Because Roger and I, you know, like, I'm always like, I better die first. He's like, fuck that, I'm dying first. I'm like, you go, I go. He's like, you jump, I jump. So,
that's sweet.
So definitely that. And then any like Hugh Grant, Notting Hill thing. And then if you're going to ask me my guilty pleasure, it would be the Twilight trilogy. There, I said it.
Yeah, I said it.
Seen it 100 times.
Oh my God, so good. And Notting Hill is like one of my top favorite movies. God,
literally the best movie.
The best. All right. Your top love language, you know, acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation, gifts, quality time. What is the number one love language?
Wait, what does that mean? What is love language? Like, how do you mean?
There's this book called The Five Love Languages.
Oh.
And it covers like everyone is all of them. I mean, we all need all of those things.
Okay.
But when you take this little love language test, which you and Roger should do, it's funny, but you can see like, okay, we all love all of them, but I gravitate like mine personally is gifts. Like I love to give gifts because I'm like a total nurturer. So it's like, how do you
like to- So you asked me my top five?
No, just your
would top- Would you ask me?
Out of the five, what's your top one love language? So there's
acts of service, like giving. The more I give, the better I feel. It's like not because I'm a martyr. It's just, that's the way it's like, my, it's literally like my favorite thing to do is give people gifts. It's like a weird obsession and I completely obsess over it. And like the people closest to me are showered in diamonds. Like it's like, I don't know how to thank them enough. I have to buy them diamonds.
Yeah. That's the Virgo queen inside you.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Is a total.
Rogers would be affection. Rogers would be like touching 100%.
Yeah. Last
he's like
show.
A golden retriever puppy and I'm a little more like a cat.
What is the last show you binge watched?
Oh, Bridgerton.
Perfect.
100 times.
Yep. You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. Which song are you choosing?
Oh, that's so hard. It's Beatles, but which one? Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, George Harrison. Maybe?
It's Let It Be and Imagine. I'm sorry, it's a tie. I can't give you one.
Yeah, fair.
And not to be cliche, but those happen to be two of the greatest songs of all time.
Oh, yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And I listen to all Beatles songs. Those just happen to be like...
Like even the B-side. Are you into that stuff too?
They just like, changed my world, you know?
Yeah. Like the non-popular, like not the mainstream Beatles.
Oh, no, I'm diehard. I'm like real diehard Beatles. Dylan, right. Beatles, Stones, Doors, Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks. I'm a classic rock chick for life.
Yeah. All right. I love that. What's something that people commonly get wrong about you?
Probably that I would be scary, like that I'd be intimidating and serious and judgy. And I'm literally like, it's the funny. And by the way, if I had a dollar for every time someone has said to me over the last 20 years or 25 years, like, you are the polar opposite of what I thought you were.
Wow.
And I swear to God, I'm pretty sure there's no one in my life that doesn't say that. That's like, whether they've been in my life for 20 years, 10 years, 2 years, yeah. They literally, once they're comfortable enough, they're like, you are exactly the opposite of what I thought you were, you know?
Oh,
and the first thing people say to me is, don't look at what I'm wearing. Don't judge me. Don't look at what I'm wearing. Oh my God. I'm so sorry for what I look like today. And I literally, I'm not even looking at what they're wearing. That's what's so funny. Yeah. I'm the least scary, least intimidating, really self-deprecating, silly person. That said, like I take my work very seriously and I don't take myself seriously. I don't take my life seriously in terms of like, you have to laugh through. You just got to be silly. And, you know, but I do expect people to do their job, you know.
Oh, there she
Mediocrity is hard for me.
There she is. All right. Cut them out.
I don't like people that take advantage of nice people. That bugs me.
No. When you die and you come back to this world, reincarnated as an animal, let's just say you believe in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. Which animal are you coming back as, Rachel?
I would say like a white Bengal tiger.
Oh.
Because I want to be able to snuggle Beautiful. And cuddle, but I also want to be able to protect myself.
Yeah,
you're and my babies, but really, a koala. A koala. I'm very conflicted. I want to be a white tiger because that's what I want to look like. And I want to be fierce and courageous.
Sure.
But I really prefer a koala because they're just cuddly and snuggly and hug everybody. And my kids, I nicknamed them koalas when they were babies because they would koala me. And it's my favorite. Whenever I see a koala, I just like light up. They're just the cutest.
They are. They're so sweet.
Want one.
Yeah. And just hanging out, eating their organic eucalyptus leaves. Like
totally.
That's
not
best
bothering
life.
A soul.
Yeah.
They don't even need animals.
The essence of Rachel Zell is a little koala. Yeah. And the last one is a quote that you like to live by. It could be one from your own like personal life, one from you or from anyone. I just always like to leave the listeners, the low lifers, we call them, with a little quote.
I have so many. I don't know. You can be kind on the way up to the top. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, you can win and be kind and, you know, live your life with purpose and figure out, you know, it's like live your life with purpose and intention and do good and help, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you said that because it would be easily for someone in your position to be jaded and to be like, screw everybody and just keep to your little bubble, but you still have that kindness and compassion. Nice guys, they say finish last, but you know what? You're over here leading the race.
I'm going to tell you something. Queen. They get there slower. They get there slower. They really do. I do believe the slow and steady win the race. And I think, I just feel like ultimately, and this is what Roger and I are both governed by, you got to go sleep with yourself at night and you got to feel good about what you're doing. And if you're not doing right by people, I promise you that sleep will never be good, you know? Mm. So you got to have a conscience. And so that's how we govern our life and our decisions, you know?
Yeah.
And it does, by the way, it doesn't always help you win. I will say that. But ultimately, you have no regrets. And someone asked me, in fact, the other day, sort of like, if the plane was about to blow up, what would you do? Like, what would you think about? Who are you sorry to? Who are you sorry to? Right?
Yeah.
And I actually thought and thought and thought and thought, and I'm not sorry to anybody. Because I what I mean is, I go to sleep at night knowing that I'm kind to the people that I should be kind to. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
You know? I don't have regrets like that about that.
Oh my God.
To somebody. And I think that's important. I think everyone should check themselves once in a while with that.
I think a little self-check-in once in a while is definitely needed.
Yes.
Especially in business and in life in general.
You know it.
Yeah. On that note, Rach, we're going to end it there. And I just want to say thank you for being the most wonderful guest.
Thanks for having me.
I adore you. And where can people find you? Can you plug your podcast?
Yeah.
I want everyone to subscribe and go and follow you.
So check out Works For Us. It's really fun. You'll learn a lot. And it's wherever go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart app, anywhere you listen to your podcast, Works For Us. You can check out at Works For Us and for me at Rachel Zoe.
Yeah, you're a great follow too. Love following you
on
the ground.
Thank you. Thank you.
You get a little fashion, family, and fun. So anyway.
You're good. So cute.
It's good
well,
stuff.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah.
And next time, by the way, you better say hi to me.
Oh, now when I see you and smelling like Tom Ford, I'm going to go right up to you, give you a COVID-free hug.
I would love that.
All right.
Have a great day, love.
Yes, you too.
Bye, honey.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Low Life Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. All right, I just got to take a moment, got to take a beat, and I just have to say thank you, muchas gracias from the bottom of my spicy little heart to each and every single lowlifer out there. Really, thank you so much to my listeners. I know there are hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there. I see hundreds of new podcasts launching every single day. So the fact that you're taking the time to rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment on Apple Podcasts, for this little shit show. Like, I just appreciate it so much. And I want to let you know that I do not take you for granted. And I'm just so humbled and honored to have you as a listener. So thank you for being here and supporting this podcast, especially for up and coming podcasts like this little engine that could or couldn't at times. The fact that you take the time to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, it helps tremendously with the growth of this podcast. We can continue to keep doing free shows. And I mean, I'm loving doing it, but it's because of you guys really supporting it, supporting the ads and the sponsors and leaving those reviews on Apple Podcasts. I have one listener and she wrote me and she's like, Lo, I left 3 reviews this week. I left you a couple dick emojis, 2 hearts and a crown. Like, enjoy it and good luck to you. Can't wait for next week. And I was like, thanks, Bootha. I appreciate you too. I mean, really, the more reviews, the better for our podcasts and you guys taking the time to write beautiful messages. And I read every single review on Apple Podcasts. I will say going into this podcast, I had little to no expectations for this one. The expectations that I did have were pretty low, pun intended. I was hoping my mom and dad, some family members, a cousin or two would listen and we'll just see where it goes. But even then, my dad would be like, sorry, I missed the last few weeks. I'll have to catch up next week. I'm like, God, I can't even rely on you. What the hell? So the fact that we've built this little low life community, this little pod fam, is just overwhelming in the best way possible. And I have some of the best listeners ever. And a lot of them are Vinos that are coming to support me on here. So thank you to the Vinos that are listening. I appreciate you supporting this podcast too. And I just want to say again, thank you, especially after I did that episode 3 episodes back, healing after losing your pet. What now? That particular episode, that was a really tough one for me to get through. And I didn't even know if I was going to release it or not. And I'm so glad I ended up putting that one out because the outpouring of love and kindness and support and so many stories from different listeners experiencing very similar thing, or they've gone through it in the past, or they're going through it right now. It meant so much for me to read those messages, and I'm still continuing to get more messages, and I'll be responding to all of you. If you've sent me a message and I haven't gotten to it yet, like, my bad, queen, like, don't worry, I'm going to be responding to you. And the fact that an episode of this podcast resonated with you and you felt comfortable enough to be vulnerable and open yourself up and share something with me too, it makes it all worth it. Really though, it makes this whole podcast worth it because of moments like that. So again, I'm very appreciative and just want to say thank you. That being said, I want to shout out some of the low lifers on Apple Podcasts that have taken the time to leave a review. I read every single review. I love them. And again, they help so much so we can continue to keep doing these free shows and putting it out there for you. All right. First review comes from mgreen2444. And she writes, anything I can do to help. I love your podcast. Get those ads, boo. 5 stars with a white heart. See, like, I have the best listeners. The fact that I have listeners who are actually encouraging me to be like, you got that ad, boo. And it's because you guys have been here since the beginning. So you knew when I first started this podcast, I mean, even a few episodes in, we weren't getting ads or sponsors. And even some of the ads and sponsors that I was pitched early on in the podcast, like, I didn't want them on the podcast, so they weren't included because I can't endorse anything for the low lifers that I don't personally love. I'm not about to sell you some bullshit up on this podcast. Like, everything that I'm endorsing on here is something I use, have used, I've recommended to a friend I personally love, just because I want it to be completely transparent. Like, I'm not about to sell you an ad for those little jade roller things because, like, they don't work. I don't think they work, and I wouldn't use one, so it's not coming on the pod. You know what I'm saying? So. All right, so next review comes from Ray Delane, R-A-E-D-E-L-A-N-E. Ray Delane writes, this podcast brings up my mood every week. Thank you, Lo, for being such a light with a heart. Oh, Ray. I'm happy this podcast can be a ray of light in your life. That's what we need in this world right now. All right, next review comes from Barry Blonde 89. Barry Blonde writes, he's hilarious. Honestly, so entertained by Lo. I love him. I love his honesty and his open-minded way of looking at the world. The way he tells stories is so funny, and he helps make my day more upbeat and positive. I kept putting off listening to the episode about pet loss because I do have 2 older pups, and I love them so much. I finally listened today and was in tears. It felt so healing and was such a beautiful episode. Lo, you are a true gift to the world. This is easily my favorite podcast. I've even been listening to old episodes so I don't skip a beat. The solo episodes are incredible, as well as guest episodes. Just hearing you talk makes me happy. Keep going, boo. Barry Blonde 89, thank you for that beautiful review. And I'm so happy that episode resonated with you. That makes this podcast all worth it. The fact that an episode can resonate with someone, it's so important to me. So thank you for that. And have you seen that Good News Movement article? It was on the Good News Movement Instagram. It was this older guy, I think on a farm in Texas, speaking of senior dogs, and he was noticing that all these assholes were leaving their senior dogs just on his land, on his property, because they didn't want him anymore. And this guy was taking him in, and he built this little train, and he would have these little senior dogs get on the train, and he'd give him a tour of the property, and he was feeding them and giving them a home, and it was just the sweetest thing ever. I was like, that man is a national treasure. I have such a soft spot in my heart for senior dogs. I think they're the cutest things ever. And one more comes from RSTROB13, RSTROB13 writes, A+5 stars. I look forward to these episodes weekly. I fell in love with Lo on Caitlin's podcast. I especially love the episodes with the queen and all the confessions and how you explain the events as they unfolded. A mess, a hot mess. RSTROB, but I'm glad you're enjoying this messy podcast. Again, thank you guys so much for taking the time to rate and review the podcast. I hope you have a wonderful weekend ahead. Oh, it's the holiday weekend. Oh yeah, we got Memorial Day weekend coming in hot, which means we can go a little hard this weekend. Have a little fun, have that extra cocktail perhaps, maybe whip up a little trashy sangria, get some sun and enjoy the break. But don't forget to drink your water, puta, because I know you're thirsty. I love you, and I'm out. We keep it moving, yeah, we do.